John, it's great to have you on the line. Where are you at this very moment?
Right now, I am in Rzeszów, Poland. It is the closest airport to the Ukrainian border. It's a city, actually the size of Providence, 170,000 people. But it's also a big passway through of the streets are really remarkable. It's all people you see, families. There's no men. It's all women, children, maybe older people, all walking with suitcases. And it's flooded with refugees from Ukraine.
Where are the men?
Well, if you're 18 to 60, you have to stay behind and fight. So it's pretty dramatic. It's taken them, the people I've interviewed, and I was fortunate to secure a translator. It's taken them several days to get out of Ukraine, 2 days on the train, plus they get delayed at the border. It's also bone-chilling cold right now. So you have some men that are actually in hiding. Some people, most people are still staying behind, hiding in their basements, afraid to get out of their homes. Others, when it's either destroyed or damaged, they make their way to the train, and then they're coming into Poland. Yesterday, I was at Przemyśl. That is really the only largest city right before you hit the border. It's 15 miles from the border of Ukraine. And that was, and I'm not being overly dramatic. I mean, it is like something out of Schindler's List. That's what occurred to me. First of all, the buildings are still very old, historic, but it is packed, trains packed. People allowed to bring one suitcase, strollers, dogs, all these women, children, all different ages, all crammed, coming, piling out, and they don't know where they're going next. Horrific stories. I interviewed these two teenagers yesterday. They learned English from YouTube. They were terrific, and they were such nice kids, and they just couldn't take it any longer. And they talked about the morning when the bombing started. And now that, you know, the boy's 15 years old and he actually had gone to his first dance and there's a girl he liked. And now she's fled somewhere with her family. All his friends are scattered. It was just kind of poignant to me, Michael, as we're coming out of this time that, and I understand it, parents upset about kids wearing masks in school and everything, children missed out on the pandemic. This is just another level. And despite it all, they just, it's so inspiring. They love their leader. They love their country. They don't want to be refugees. They want to go back home. They actually don't want to come to America. Mm-hmm. It's just horrific the way they describe that, just hours on hours on end of the bombing and the sheer terror of it. Many older people apparently are unable to make it down to the basement, so then they're just upstairs in the home. And then some people have described that some of the older people they're like defiant, that I refuse. I will not leave, and I'm not going to go hide in the basement. If I'm going to go out, this is the way I'm going to go out. It's really riveting to listen to their interviews. And again, I'm very fortunate that on day one, I scooped up a tremendous translator.
How are the Polish people that live in this city, how are they handling this disruption to their way of life? One, I imagine they're terrified at the thought of nuclear war between NATO and Russia.
Yes.
But what's their take on this?
Poland, the people, again, that I've talked to, the older ones, they almost feel like not we're not going through this again. We know where this story leads. They're very adamant that they do not want to have, they don't, if Putin takes Ukraine, that makes Poland the neighbor. There's definitely increased presence. I mean, it came out this week that the U.S. has moved their Patriot missiles from Germany now to Poland. And that's about 10 miles north from where I am right now in Rzeszów. But the Polish people, the whole city is on edge. Now, they are reaching out, and it's pretty dramatic, the amount of volunteers and the people helping these refugees as they come piling in. And you see the sheer number of young children. I mean, young children, children that you'd hesitate to maybe take like on a long trip. And instead, everybody has one suitcase. One suitcase is allowed on the train. But the Polish people, they're very, very concerned of where this is going to go. It's real uncertainty. There's an atmosphere, Michael, I haven't experienced of People feel this is different than the pandemic. It's different than a storm. It's hard to pinpoint. It's real tension in the air. And they're very fearful of where this whole thing is leading for them.
Well, what an experience for you. Now, just for the people listening to this across America and across the UK, where we are heard on podcast radio and a number of stations, this is a heck of an experience for you. People should know that you're not representing a major network. You're not representing a major news organization. You're on a radio station in Rhode Island, and you're using new media. And you finance this totally by yourself. And what kind of psychological thought process did you have to go through to reach a point where you got on a plane and went to a city you've never been in that's several miles away from a country at war with Russia? I mean, wow.
Well, you know what? First of all, I don't know if one of them, I mean, I've worked for some of the bigger companies. I don't know if they'd let someone do it because there's definitely an element of danger. I have traveled Europe. I've traveled a little bit. This is where the story is. And what I like about it is, you know, it's just been such a polarizing time between the elections and COVID. I'm getting back to, and I'd like, just let people tell their stories. Regular people have incredible, riveting stories. And then it's what these people are experiencing. You just think of what it would have been like to not being in our, what would it have been like to be in our format during the Second World War or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is extraordinary what's taking place. There's a common bond. They can tell that I want to just hear their stories. They want people to know what's happening. It means something to them that, you know, that someone like myself has taken the time to go over. I got on the phone with some of my top sponsors, explained what I want to do, and everyone was just 100% on board. So I thought, you know what, if I think about this too long, I'm going to talk myself out of it. It's been very, very challenging. It is tough doing the broadcast in a foreign country. But, you know, they can tell. I also have two mic flags, and I put that blue and yellow just so they realize that I'm supportive of Ukraine. I also, Michael, I've bounced some of the propaganda that we hear off them, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Explain.
These are poor, innocent people. And I want to just also stress, they have pictures. They live in nice homes, and they have nice businesses. This woman showed me what a beautiful garden, and they have such a beautiful way of life, and it's completely gone. I mean, we see, like, the hurricane comes ripping through Florida, but they love their country. They have a nice life, and in a moment's notice, pack up one bag, and they leave it all behind. It is brutal to watch, but it's I find them very inspiring, and they have a good spirit about them. Those two children, those two teenagers, the brother and sister, they're traveling alone. Their parents stayed behind. They got them on the train.
Oh, my.
It's, it's just the perspective of, and I even put out, I don't want to hear another parent complain about they had to go on a plane with their child at Disney World and they couldn't keep the kid quiet for the trip. Oh, we see, you know, the families in the restaurant and the child's, you know, walking around the restaurant causing a problem. This is, these are poor. They're not poor, but they're just innocent people. And they love their country. They love the president.
It puts it in perspective, doesn't it though?
It
puts our issues into perspective, doesn't it? And I tend to think that this war is going to change the times in terms of talk radio conversation, the main subjects we talk about, and even the propaganda you referred to. I think a lot of people are doing second thinking and a lot of soul searching as to where they've stood on Russia and where they've stood on Putin up until this point. Do you agree?
I do. Or at least, I mean, I hope so, because this is, you know, and again, I think social media was caught off guard with some of the propaganda that is out there. I think our country, I mean, we're definitely a little bit behind the eight ball trying to explain the nature of exactly what's going on. But he is universally, every person, they hate Putin. They admire Zelensky. The little 15-year-old boy said he and his friends weren't sure what to make of him, and they play Call of Duty. And the fact that he is sticking around and he is willing to fight for the people, they are all rallying. I mean, it's just so different, Michael, simply because, and we've been living through it, this divided nation, and, you know, the election was stolen, and January 6th, and, I'm speaking with people that are truly, they are under attack, and they are not by their choice, but at war, and their way of life is over. And I'm not sure everybody gets that, that we have two nations that seemingly, when we talk about an attack on democracy, that January 6th was not that. This is an attack on democracy. And you're really seeing people that this is not like the power's out, or again, you know, a blizzard comes in, or a hurricane, or, you know, some of the people stuck in traffic. This is a game changer, and the shock waves are all over Europe.
That's John DePietro of WNRI Rhode Island speaking to us from Rzeszów, Poland, where he's reporting back to the States this week his observation of the massive influx of Ukrainian immigrants and other aspects of the war taking place on the other side of the nearby border. I want to congratulate John DePietro for taking his dedication to talk radio to the furthest limits possible. Really a proactive reporting initiative indeed. I also want to thank him personally for sharing his work and experiences with the listeners of this program. Absolutely riveting, excellent reporting.